And the only, only thing that I did that was wrong was to keep her from the foggy, foggy doo.
The fog comes on little cat feet. It sits looking over city and harbor on silent haunches and then moves on.
The fog does not move on, Mr. Sandberg, if we have stagnant air. I'm Keith Seinfeld with Cliff Mass of the University of Washington. And Cliff, do we know when the fog will be moving on?
We've had fog for days, and we're going to have it for more days, I'm afraid. It's quite an interesting situation right now. We have an amazing inversion above us. We have roughly 600 feet of cool, foggy, polluted air near the surface. And above that, we have a very strong inversion. That's where temperatures increase with height. And so in that next 600 feet, the temperature warms by around 20 degrees Fahrenheit. And so today, you know, temperatures will be in the 30s, maybe upper 30s. But if you hiked up to maybe 1,500, 2,000 feet, the temperatures would be in the lower 50s. I mean, the inversion is that strong. And the trouble with these kind of inversions is they act as a cap. They act as sort of like a plastic shield that keeps all the pollutants and moisture near the surface. And so, you know, we have some very poor air quality right now. This is all being caused by an area of high pressure aloft that has been in place for days, and it looks like it's going to be in place at least until the middle of Tuesday. Now, there is a break to this, but it's not going to be till the middle of next week.
So we've been having this same weather pattern all week, and you're saying it's just going to keep more of the same, more of the same, more of the same.
That's right. It's not going anywhere. It's not moving. In fact, it's going to strengthen a bit as we go later into the weekend. And when you have high pressure over you, that tends to produce inversions. And let me tell you why that happens. First, when you have high pressure, that's associated with generally sinking air, which destroys clouds at high levels, mid levels, and even fairly low levels. So sinking air is bad for clouds. So it's relatively clear aloft. That allows the surface to radiate heat to space. So the surface gives off infrared heat, and that goes to space, and the surface cools down and cools down. So it's like having a refrigerator coil at the surface. But then on top of that, when you have that high pressure and that sinking actually causes warming aloft. Because when air sinks, it goes from lower pressure to higher pressure. The air is compressed, and when air is compressed, it warms. So we have a heater coil aloft due to sinking air, and we have a cooling coil near the surface because the surface is able to radiate heat to space. So if you warm aloft and you cool near the surface, you tend to produce an inversion that has gotten stronger and stronger the last few days.
Are you saying if I headed up to the mountains that it would be warm enough that like the snow would be melting there, but it would be freezing down here in the urban areas?
Well, if you take a short hike, my favorite is Tiger Mountain this time of the year. If you start at, let's say, a few hundred feet up, you'll be cold. It'll be foggy. It could even be frosty. But after an hour hiking, if you get up to, let's say, 2,000 feet, you will be in bright sunshine. The temperatures will be in the lower 50s. It'll be absolutely gorgeous. So any way that you can get up to at least, let's say, 1,500 feet, hike up a mountain, drive up to the top of a hilltop, you can get out of this. And, of course, the mountains, if you go up into the Cascades, they're going to be in bright sunshine. So it's easy to escape this, but if you could be stuck in it all day long if you stay near sea level in the lowlands of Washington, Oregon.
We're stuck in this pattern, you said. Can't we do something about it? Stir the air up? Mix it somehow?
We can't do that on a large scale. But in fact, if you go into eastern Washington, they have some experience with this. When they get inversions, not quite this strong, at low levels, they try to break the inversion up with these big fans. They have these wind machines that mix the air. So if you have a very shallow, weak inversion, you can actually mechanically mix it out a bit. But that's not going to happen here. This is an extraordinarily strong inversion that's about 600 feet above us, so there's nothing we can do about it.
Are we making it worse when we burn wood? I know that we keep having these burn bans.
Well, we have burn bans now, and those are very good. That they're called by the Puget Sound Clean Air Agency. So whenever they see a situation where high pressure is developing and getting a setup for these strong inversions, they have these burn bans to stop people from burning too much wood. And in fact, that has an amazingly positive impact, particularly like narrow valleys in areas like at Lake Forest Park or in Darrington, where the air is more constrained. If you have a burn ban, you can really make a difference.
Thanks, Cliff.
Sure.
Cliff Mass teaches atmospheric sciences at the University of Washington. I'm Keith Seinfeld, KPLU News.